Final first bridge in Slane, but I've got some thinking. We sometimes expect things, think of possibilities that happen, but I gotta think about what God had a voice made. What you think about that? You call there, want to find out something, get an answer to something. Hear an answer and says, thank you for calling my father's house. Please select one of the following options. Press one for request. Press two for thanksgiving. Press three for complaints. Press four for all other requests. And then look through all this. Think about all the things there, all the different options.
Get a second set of batteries already. That's not those Durer cells. They don't endure. But I thought about that. What if God had a horse mail? But he don't have. When we pray to him, we get through instantly. Sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers where we thought they should be. But I'm convinced he answers one of three ways. He either says yes or no or not right now. Well, I don't think there's a maybe to it. I think it's either yes or no or wait a while. Maybe so. Maybe go to voicemail after that. I don't know. But then I went to the church and got my program I left up there, and I saw it said that the final perseverance of the saints.
Amen.
So I hope this is not final, but if you persevere through this, you'll get to eat lunch when I'm done. But the man that's righteous before God, he has a way of his own, so to speak. It's not the ways of the flesh or the ways of the world, but it's the way of God.
Right.
We follow, like, I heard a song somewhere, we're on the King's Highway. I know the thing about this different times the past few days. When I heard someone ask how to get to Mount Gilead, well, I never thought of it. We follow roads, we follow highways. And there's a way laid out for us as God's people.
Amen.
And whether we realize or not, God's people are going to follow that way.
Yeah.
We may get off in a ditch a time or two here and there, but we're going to stay there. Scripture said, if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. So perseverance is a path of faith and holiness, and that's necessary for the Christian. And only ones that endure, Scripture tells us, we see it taught, is those that endure are the only ones to be saved.
Right.
We can't be a Christian part of the time and be a sinner part of the time.
Right.
One thing is, one reason is we're sinners all the time. There's never a day that we don't. I don't think there's never hardly a minute that we don't sin, because we all sin. But there's a great difference between the nominal Christian and a real Christian.
Yeah.
And that's generally seen in the failure of one to continue and the other one to continue. If we're a child of God, there's nothing you can do to make you not a child of God.
Right.
Even if you leave this world, you're still a child of God. We endure because we have a Savior that endures. We have a Savior that endured some things on our behalf. So when we think about all that, it's a marvel that anybody is ever saved. Who here deserves salvation? Who had done enough good works to deserve to get to heaven? There's no one. And we can't do enough good works to get to heaven. I think it was in one of Spurgeon's sermons. He said there's enough sin in the best prayer to put the soul in hell to pray the prayer. And we think about how often does your mind stay on something like that? When we're praying or when you're preparing a message, I sometimes have trouble or get started on something, and then the next thing I know, my mind's way over here. Sometimes, you get in the front room and read some, and Andy Griffith's on this thing. Now I'm wondering what Barney's into. But that's human nature. And it takes some perseverance to come through that. But we will persevere because we are who we are. We're God's people. There's times when we get weary. There's times we don't walk as we should. We don't think as we should. But there's always the end in sight. And that's why we're looking at the final perseverance. What are we going to persevere to? What are we going to go to? I heard one time where I saw it. Doctor told a fellow he had 6 months to live. He asked the doctor, what should I do? He said, well, to make it as long as possible, he said, sell everything you own and go live with your mother. He said, well, that made me live longer. He said, no, that'd be the longest 6 months you've ever lived. So if he could persevere, we can persevere. We've got a better end than that. When we look at our text there, look at the final perseverance of saints. It says the righteous shall hold on his way. Years ago, I don't remember myself, but there was a pretty bitter controversy from what I read between Calvinists and Arminians. And they always had a habit of amplifying the worst of the other side. And they did that trying to prove their point of view. But it's easy to build a strong man and then set him on fire and burn him up. But we have something that's going to persevere. The controversy has been settled long ago. We have no choice but to persevere because of who we are. And we are what we are because what Christ did for us.
Amen.
And what God the Father did for us. God the Father sent his Son in our place to bear our sins on the cross. He persevered all of that so we'll have what we need to persevere here on earth. Don't mean we'll be perfect. But we hold on. We stay. We stay, stay in the way we're put in. We might, some of you know Brother Junior Berry used to be out of Oakville there. Always viewed him hitting the wall on both sides. He stayed the course, but if you're teaching Sunday school, he'd first be on this subject, then on that subject, then back on the way you're going. But he, at the end of the Sunday school lesson, he got to the point. We may bounce off the wall here and there. Sometimes we hit the wall pretty hard. But we never get off the trail, off the track. We're going to stay until the journey's end. So we have some scriptures that proves these things to us. I want to look at some of them. But most of you here, I think, could understand and believe the doctrines of grace. Or the doctrine of grace. I've heard it said it was one doctrine. I've heard it said it was doctrines, plural, singular. Depends on how you want it divided up. But the final perseverance can't require any proving, shouldn't require any proving, because it follows all the other doctrines in the Bible. We believe that God has an elect people. He chose those people. He chose us to eternal life. And the truth necessarily involves the perseverance. If we're redeemed eternally, then we have no choice but to persevere. get where we're going don't mean we'll get there all spotless and clean on our part. But whenever God the Father sees us, he sees us through God the Son, and we'll be clean and perfect and spotless. The doctrine is a great kind of like a chain. If you believe in one of them, then you got to believe all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't be separated. And I could go off on several ways there, but I won't. But we need to think on these scriptures in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. You've been telling us there about those who were once enlightened. It would be impossible for them, if they fell away, to renew them again to repentance. And that's true. People say that, but they don't realize what's involved in that. If we could be lost after we're saved, how could we be saved again? Jesus Christ would have to come back and die on the cross and raise him to the dead again. That's what it took to save us. And if that's what it took to save us one time, that's what it takes to save us every time. And I can tell you right now, he's not going to do that.
No.
And I don't blame him. If I'd have been through what he's been through, what he endured for us, what he persevered for us, I wouldn't, it would have been me thinking, I wouldn't have done to start with. But he loved us enough to do that. But it's finished. When he said it's finished, that was it. So in Hebrews 10:38-39, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those that draw back to perdition, but of those that believe in the saving of the soul." We sometimes falter, fail. Sometimes our faith fails for a little bit. Not that we lose our salvation, but sometimes Satan can plant a seed of doubt in your mind. You may get to feeling bad, things not going right, and you wonder, well, am I really saved? Does this really happen to saved people? There's not anything that can happen to people that it's impossible to happen to you. You look at Job, you're looking at all these subjects come out of the book of Job. Job was God's man. And when you think about it and study the book of Job, the devil couldn't do anything to Job without God's permission. So if God gave Job permission, or gave the devil permission to torture Job, what's Stephen doing the same thing for us? He had a reason. Everything that happens to us is for a reason. Sometimes the reason is we're just too dumb to see where we're going. But it's for a reason. We're not studying enough to know where we're going, why we're going there. But God always has our map, road mapped out for us. Sometimes I've had people mention the apostasy. Worked with a fellow for a long time, and he argued with me that you can lose yourself. I quoted to him the scripture. I don't remember the exact words being quoted, but you're in the hands of Christ. And nobody can pluck him out of my hand. And the Father that gave him me is greater than no man can pluck him out of my Father's hand. And he always said, well, no, but you can do it yourself. On that last discussion we had on that, I said, well, how's he going to get to you? You're in the hand of the Son. He has his hand over you. And then the Father has his hand around both of you. And it says, nobody greater than the Father. So you cannot be lost.
Right. Amen.
You may not always act like it or look like it. But if you're ever born again, you cannot be an unborn.
Right.
That's an impossibility.
Amen.
It's impossible. You're once enlightened, and that's another scripture people use to say, You can be saved and be lost. You can be enlightened and be lost. You can say you believe the scripture and be lost. But if you believe the scripture and trust Christ as your Savior, the way the scripture says, you won't be lost. You'll never be lost. In Matthew 7, verse 20, it's about their fruit, shall you know them. And it says that the branch which bears fruit is purged. That is not cut off, but it's purged. I don't really know about a branch being purged. I know about purging lines for a cutting torch. You purge it to get all the air out so you have the oxygen in one to settle in another. And there's no mixture there. We're purged so that we'll be clean. And there's it says in Matthew 7:22, tells there's going to be those that say in that day, Lord, Lord. Well, the people can profess a lot of things, but he'll say there, I never knew you. It don't say that he forgot you. It says, I never knew you. We never were. If that's the case, they never were saved. We never was a Christian. But if we ever were, we're going to persevere. He speaks to the people of God there in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and remains in us forever. We're saved by the works of God, not the works we've done. We're saved for eternity. We're saved for a purpose.
Amen.
I don't know, like Mike said, I don't know what we'll all be doing when we get there. I remember Brother Jim Martin used to say, whatever job you had, you'd be perfectly suited to it. He said, you always figured he'd be taking out the trash. But if it's such as that, someone has to do that. He went on to say, if you had such a job as that, it's going to be perfectly suited to you, and you'll enjoy doing it. So whatever our job is there, we'll enjoy doing it, whatever it is, if we're a cook or whatever it is. We all know that life given in the new birth is immediately connected with faith. Faith is itself the conquering principle. And in 1 John, there's a great treasure there. It says there, whatsoever born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world except he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? But we overcome, we persevere. I think if you study both words, they both come out to about the same conclusion. We're overcome, we persevere. We will overcome this world because Christ has overcome this world. He tells us that in this world we'll have tribulation. We'll have problems. There's none of us that don't have problems. I can hardly talk now because of the problem of God. I guess that's my thorn in the flesh to bear. The girl gave me the voice therapy where she said, don't clear your throat and don't sing. I said, that's good because I never could sing. I said, what am I going to do about first clearing my throat? She said, get you a big drink of water and swallow. Do it. That don't work either. I'm still hoarse. Can't always say what I want to say. Can't understand it. But I guess they're recording this so you can get a copy of it. Turn the volume way up so you can hear what I'm saying. But if I do say something, you'll have a record of it. And one of the things we need to think about is, too, that we have in the scripture, says there in John 3:14-15, that's Moses lifted up and served in the wilderness, even so much the Son of Man did lift up. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It is not a life we have once in a while. We have for a few days or have once in a while. It's eternal. And if we believe on him, it says we'll never perish. If we're a child of God now, we'll always be a child of God. I'm a son of my mother and father. They're both gone, but I'm here. And even after I'm gone, I'll still be a son of my mother and father. I don't know how much our grandchildren and great-grandchildren know about who their ancestors were. It seems like today people don't care who their ancestors were until they get old. And they wonder, well, who was so-and-so, and what's this name mean? I know who my heavenly father is. I've never seen him, but I've got a record here of what he did to make me that. So there's no need to read all the passages and where this truth is taught. Further on down in John chapter 6, the Lord tells these Jews here in verse 47, says, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. It's not a temporary life. We have that because we do persevere. And we persevere because we have that. You can't separate the two. If we are a child of God, we will persevere. It may get pretty rough sometimes. But it says there that I'm a living bread that come down from heaven. If any man eats of that bread, we have eternal life. And when he goes on there and points out, he gives eternal life to his sheep. He knows the sheep, and they know him. He knew it before the world was ever born. He knew us because he chose us. And I don't know if he used a pencil right with Mike, but I think probably he wrote in blood her name in the Lamb book. It's written somewhere, and something can't be erased. That's right, I think it's written in the blood of Christ. He's my child. And John 10:29 says, my Father is greater than me, and no man's ever plucked them out of my Father's hand. So we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry, we shouldn't worry, to go through this life about, can I make it? Will I be able to make it? The Lord's going to make sure you make it. What happens if we don't do as we should? It's the same thing that used to happen to me before I didn't do what my father told me to do. He wore a big white leather belt, but I didn't. I think what this nation now needs to hear, it is the sound of leather sliding through belt loops a little more. Probably if it try that, there'd be a lot of people in court over it because they'd say we're being abused or abusing the children. But the reason our Father chastened us as we were children is because he loved us. He wanted us to grow up to be something. The reason our Heavenly Father chastens us is he wants us to persevere. So we'll receive the reward of living this life. We don't do what we do here to keep our salvation. The reason we do what we do, the reason we should do it, is because we love our Heavenly Father and we love our Savior Jesus Christ. So we do it out of love. The Father chastened us out of love. I used to hear my dad say, this is going to hurt me worse than it does you, and I'm like, how in the world could that be? That belt hurt. He had a way of maybe just about an inch of the end up to make contact with you. But he got the point across. And whenever he was done, I didn't want to do that again. You ever been chastened by your Heavenly Father? wasn't gonna do that again, did he? He knows how to chase us. And he does it in a way that gets the point across. And he saves us, it says there in Hebrews 7:25. Therefore also he is able to save to the uttermost those that come to him, come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for us. Our Lord Jesus is not dead.
No.
He's risen. He's gone back into glory, and he sits at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
I don't know what that looks like. I have different thoughts about what the throne of God looks like, where the Son is. But I don't really know. We think of the throne as some big golden seat or a fancy seat with all kind of leather upholstery and maybe some jewels on or something like that. But I don't know that we even begin to understand what God's Son looks like. But there's one thing we know according to Scripture. We'll see it. We're all going to appear there. There's nobody in this world that's ever been in this world, ever will be in this world, that's going to escape judgment. We'll all stand at the judgment seat. We'll either stand at the great white throne, we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll give an account for what we do. We'll give an account for how we persevere. And as his people, we'll give an account for our perseverance, and we'll give Christ the glory for it. Because it's through him that we persevere. He says there in John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept, and I've lost none, except the son of perdition. And it says that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas was never saved. Judas had his own office to fulfill. He was only given to Christ as a disciple. He wasn't given to him as a sheep. And I think there's a big difference there. He was there temporarily. He had a temporary profession, but he never had eternal life. If he had had eternal life, he would still be a child of God. So he's going to keep those that are his, and we're going to persevere because we are his, because we are of his sheep. So God keeps us. He keeps by his word. He keeps by the spirit that he puts in us. And that is eternal. No one is ever going to be able to take us out of his hand. We persevere because of who we are. We persevere because of what we are. So we can have confidence in who we are. And I think so. 2 Timothy 1:12, I think. So I know whom I believe and that persuaded, that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day.
Amen.
I know who I've committed my soul to. I've committed my soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that he's able to keep it. He's not going to keep my life on this earth forever. One thing you just well get used to if you're here. Sooner or later, you're going to die. And what matters then is, are you prepared? Are you prepared to meet him? He's going to keep us against that day. We need to know who we believe. We need to know why, as God's people, we keep on persevering. We persevere because of who we trust to get us there. The same as someone gets on an airplane, Charleston, and they fly wherever, they're depending on that plane and that pilot to get there. They don't know where that pilot was on the night before they took off, how sober he was. We don't even know if he has a pilot's license or not. But they depend on him. We can know about our Savior.
Amen.
He has all the credentials that he's ever needed to save every person that will ever be saved. His blood is 100%. 100% efficient. It supplies all of our needs. We'll never lose anything that we commit to him. And he made an everlasting covenant. He didn't make a covenant that would last however long we live. He says it's an everlasting covenant. Jeremiah 32:40 says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they shall not depart from me. We have someone mentioned, I guess Mike is on my bed up here before me today, that we have a reverential fear of God. And if we know God, we'll have a reverential fear. And we'll be so glad that he's chose to save us and put us where we are. It's, he says there on down in that about the covenant there, he's going to make a new covenant. He says the days comes when I'll make a new covenant with those of the house of Israel and those of the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day when I took them by the hand and laid them out of Egypt. He's going to make a covenant, and he's made a covenant that we're going to persevere. He's going to get us where he wants us to be. My dad had a way of getting me in the garden when he wanted me there. I didn't always want to go. And I didn't always want to do what he wanted me to do when I got there. But he had a way to keep me in line. Our Heavenly Father has a way to keep us in line. Sometimes it's a rough way if we disobey. Sometimes it's easy to obey. I found out one thing, and I think probably every Christian can understand this. The closer I stood to my dad when he had that belt in his hand, the less it hurt. The closer we are to our Heavenly Father, the less the discipline hurts. And the less often we get. So the Lord appeared, it says there in Jeremiah, the Lord appeared to me and to me. The Lord has appeared of old time, saying, yes, I have loved them with an everlasting love, therefore with love and kindness I have drawn them. God loved us with an everlasting love. He didn't just love us sometime that we heard the gospel. He loved us with a love that made sure we heard the gospel. And he knew when that time would be. He knew how to get us where we needed to be so we could hear the gospel. So we know that he's in control, and we persevere because of that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, says, whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, those he also called. And whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. So there's no break in the chain there between justification and glorification. And no breakage will occur there. And so on down there in these chapters, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died. Yes, rather, is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? That's why we persevere. It says, quoted a while ago, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have something to hold on to. God put us where we couldn't be lost. I put things sometimes where I don't think they'll be lost, and then when I need them, I hunt for them.
Right.
I dig through things, and then Linda, where is that? She usually knows. But God knows where we are all the time. We don't have to worry about final perseverance of the saints. If we are a saint, and if you're saved, you are a saint, you will persevere.
Amen.
And again, that verse there, 1 Timothy,
Amen.
So I know whom I believe. Do you know who you believe today? Have you believed what the Bible says, or have you believed what someone has told you? Believe someone that told you needed to do so many Hail Marys and her fathers, or do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins?
Yes,
so I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded. And that persuaded means that you understand. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. And we're persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day.
Amen.
I've committed eternity to Him.
Yeah.
I've committed my keeping to Him. Can you say the same this morning?